especially the midweek afternoon shows. I'm a huge fan of jazz, so whenever that's on, I'm listening. Without community support, public radio cannot exist. It exists because we all contribute in one way or another, and financial support is extremely important.
So everybody donate to your local radio station. This is democracy in survival mode, so every dollar counts.
Now, we need to hear from you. Go to WJFFradio.org to support Radio Catskill. Take a moment to help ensure we will always be here for everyone who needs us. Give what you can at WJFFradio.org.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Join us now as we explore the Catskills from the foothills to the high country and both sides of the Delaware River, meeting amazing people here on Catskill Character.
Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character. I'm Donna Fellenberg. Today, I've picked up my voice recorder and headed out to Breezy Acres Farm in Pennsylvania to speak with a delightful young woman, Chelsea Grass. Chelsea is an example of a young person who was thoughtful and deliberate in her decisions, a hard worker, and a very positive force in the universe. She has many farm animals and is going to share with us what it takes to have these animals as pets. She also has specific plans for the future, and it's very refreshing to speak with someone open to what the world has to offer and finds great joy in contributing to the well-being of not just her animals, but people as well. Please enjoy my conversation with a beautiful young woman, Chelsea Grass. Today I'm out in the field and happily donning my boots and spraying down with tick repellent and going up to Breezy Acres Farm in Tyler Hill for a chat with Chelsea Grass. Let me see if I can find her. Hey, Chelsea.
Hey. Thank you for coming.
Oh, God, it's so beautiful. Hope it doesn't start raining.
No.
Before we meet the animals, I thought you could tell me a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from Riverhead, Long Island. My parents moved me here when I was 11 years old. I do not miss Long Island at all.
Why is that?
Well, the school system, it was very bad. I was always being bullied. I was always crying when I came home from school, and my parents thought it would be best for us to move somewhere, I guess Pennsylvania. Uh-huh. And the school system here is way better.
How did your parents find this place?
My dad was originally born here. My grandma's from here. And they moved to Long Island. My mom was originally from Long Island, and they met there. And then my dad would visit here, and my dad found a piece of property he really liked, and he started building a house here.
You know, these are the times I wish we were on television, because I can't even begin to describe how beautiful it is here.
Yeah, the sunsets are really great on the porch. They're really nice to watch with my family.
Yeah. You went to high school here. What were your plans after you went to high school? What did you want to do?
My original plan was to go to school for a veterinary technician, but when I did go, I realized that I could not deal with blood. I'm very queasy, and I get lightheaded with blood, and technicians do a lot with monitoring during surgery, so I realized I could not do that at all.
Now, did you realize this during a surgery? What happened?
Yeah, I went to Cherry Ridge to foreshadow for the day, and they were fixing a female dog, and they were showing me like the ovaries and stuff, and I got really lightheaded, and I had to sit down in a chair, and I couldn't look anymore.
Oh, that must have been hard for you, because that was something that you wanted to do, but you bounced back, and what are you doing now?
I work at Ellen Memorial Nursing Home in Honesdale, and I take care of the people in the dementia unit.
What's that like?
It can be fun, it can be hard, but it's really rewarding, and I love the people there, I love the residents. I really love them all, but some of them I click a little bit more with than others, but I love them all the same.
You know, I see you on Facebook. I follow you. And you have a very positive, upbeat kind of attitude. Have you always been like that?
For the most part, yes. Maybe when I was a teenager, not so much. Like in high school, I was a little bit moody, but now I'm much more positive, and it's good.
Well, that's a really good attribute to have to do the work that you're doing in a dementia unit. I'm sure it really benefits all of your patients.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun with them.
And having that job also allows you to still have plenty of time for your animals. When did you first get interested in animals?
Well, I've pretty much been interested in animals forever. Like, we've had cats since I was younger and other kinds of pets, but I really got into farm animals when I was in the middle of high school. I got a job at a farm in Coshocton, New York, Riverbrook Farm, and Neil Fitzgerald was my boss, and I really started liking goats there. I learned about goats and farming and chickens and gardening, all sorts of stuff.
Is that when you got your first animal?
My first animal was my donkey, Daisy. And she, I got from an ex-boyfriend. He got from his father at a farm. And then I got all the rest of the goats from the farm I was working at, which was a meat operation. So I would get attached to them and buy them off her.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
It's a big job. Give the audience a kind of a sense of what you have to do.
Okay, so when I got them in high school, I didn't really realize what it was going to entail, but now I've pretty much got it down pat. I have to come. I don't live at my parents' house, and they live at the parents' house, so I have to leave my house in the morning, go to my parents' house, and let the animals out, make sure they have water, a little hay. If it's the summertime, I spray Daisy with fly spray, I put her fly mask on, and then they're good for the day, but then I have to come back at night and put them away. I lock them up in a shed they have at night because I'm really scared of there's mountain lions I've seen around here, and bear, and coyote, so I come back at night around dark, and I put them away, I give them grain, I give them more water, I give them hay, and then that usually takes me about 45 minutes, and that doesn't include if I spend time with them after that, and brushing Daisy and doing her hooves, so there's that for the daily, and then you have to deworm the goats once a month and deworm Daisy the donkey every 3 months. I also have to trim the goat hooves every 3 months. I get Daisy's hooves done by a farrier every about 7 to 8 weeks, and I also have to get hay from the farm I used to work at. That's where I store it. And that's probably every few weeks I have to go get the hay in a truck, bring it over to the animals, and we store it in the overhang near the shed.
I think I know how you stay in such great shape.
Yeah.
Now, when you say you have to do the goats, hooves? Are you doing that yourself?
Yeah, my boss from the farm taught me how to do that, and my boyfriend and I will go out to the animals and he'll lie down on them, like on their side, and then I'll take the trimmers and I'll go through and I'll trim all their hooves, and then we put this liquid on them so that it keeps the hoof rot away, and then we have to check it, make sure it's good in a few weeks, and then we'll go back every few months.
And what about deworming? You said you have to deworm.
Yeah.
Is that like a pill?
There are pills and there's shots, but I get the liquid kind. And so I go out there and I have a little syringe and it's by weight. So I have to measure it out. And then sometimes I have to wrestle with the goats to get it in them. And then they get some other stuff just like to help with the red blood cells and whatnot. And then they're good for another month.
So there's really a lot to do when you're taking care of this amount of animals.
Yeah, and especially with my guys, they're all fixed males, so they can't reproduce, they can't be milked, so they're not producing anything, but I don't care. I will spend my money on them because I love them, and it isn't the cheapest, but
could you give us an idea of what the expense is?
So the dewormer is about $40, but I don't go through that too quickly. And I get Daisy her own kind of dewormer, and that's only like $4. The hay it varies year to year, and it's usually around $4 a bale. And they went through this last year 250 bales.
Oh my God.
So there's that. And then they get grain. Daisy gets different grain from the goats. The goats get meat goat food. It's medicated. And the food's like $13 for the goats and about $13 for the donkey. And the donkey doesn't go through the food that quick, like every few months. And then the goats, they eat the grain so quick that I have to buy grain like every month for them.
Now, I remember a funny story about one time when I think it was Francis had something wrong with his eye and you had to take him to the vet and you put a call out to on Facebook if anybody could come and help you. And I thought, hey, I live right here. Yeah. I'm going to. And you actually have to transport the goats in your car.
Yeah, it's expensive to have the vet come to you, and I have them come out once a year to give them their yearly shots and the donkey, because I can't transport the donkey in my car, but the goats I can fit in my SUV. So if there's something wrong with them, I'll load them up in the car and take them with me for a ride to the vet. It depends on who it is, but usually Francis is pretty good, and the one goat Floyd is very nervous, and he doesn't like car rides at all. He just cries the whole time.
Aww.
Yeah. They all have their own personalities, and they're all different.
Before we go down there and meet them, let's review who they are. You can tell us who they are.
Okay, so Daisy's a donkey. She's gray and white spotted. She's super pretty and super loving and super nice. And then you got Blackie and Brownie and their brothers. They're Nigerian dwarfs. They're 10 years old. Brownie's very, very loving, and he's such a mush. And then Blackie's a little bit more skittish, but he's still friendly. And then Floyd is the next oldest. He's 10 also, and he's an alpine goat. And he's very dorky. He has an overbite, and he's just silly looking, but I love him. And then Bucky is... he's actually the baby, and he's the alpha male, and he's the biggest, and he has the biggest horns, and he is an attention hog. He always wants attention. If he sees that I'm leaving, he cries. If I'm trying to brush Daisy, he gets in between us, and then he pushes me away so I can brush him and not her.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, he's very needy and whiny, but he knows his name, and when I call him, he calls back, and so that's Bucky. And then Francis. Francis is Brownie's son, and he is 5. Bucky and Francis are both 5, but Bucky was born last. So Bucky's a baby. And Francis, he's a little larger than everybody else. He's much more round, and he's obsessed with food. And he's the goat that will escape the pen and run up to the house and try to get inside. And actually, one time, he got out of the pen and was chasing the mail lady because she had to come up to the driveway and bring the mail up. And he ran after her and was trying to get in the car. And she didn't know if he was going to hurt her or not, but he just wanted to go for a ride.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So they all have different personalities, and I think it's time for us to meet them. Why don't we go down there and say hi to them?
Yes, they love the attention.
Okay. Oh, let me get my hat. We're going to take a short break and be right back with more of my conversation with Chelsea Grass.
Support comes from Sullivan County Dramatic Workshop, continuing its 2024 season with The Ripple Effect by Ariana Rose. Weekends at the Rivoli Theater, July 12th through 21st. Tickets at scdw.net. And from listeners like you.
So many of your fellow listeners have done their part to keep Radio Catskill on air for everyone.
It's the thinking person's radio station. I'm addicted to Morning Edition and All Things Considered and a host of others. They're very provocative, informative, and objective, which is not something you find all that frequently. Public radio is one of the great things about the United States.
Pretty much, I turn it on throughout the whole day. It's my kind of place.
It's always been, to me, like just kind of a truthful voice in the wilderness.
And I just find, at least on WJFF, even if it's something I don't want to hear, they'll still tell it to me. And I think that's important.
If you donated to our summer fun drive, thank you for being cool. And if you haven't donated yet, there's still time. Give now at WJFFradio.org to get us over the finish line.
If you've just joined me, I'm Donna Fellenberg, host of Catskill Character here on WJFF Radio, and I've been up to Breezy Acres Farm to speak with Chelsea Grass. Chelsea told us in the first half of the show how and why she moved to Pennsylvania from Long Island when she was 11. She originally wanted to be a vet tech, but while training, she discovered that she had an aversion to blood and had to change her plans. She bounced right back. She is a born caregiver, and she explained all that it takes to have a donkey and goats. It ain't easy. In the second half of the show, Chelsea takes me down to visit her animals and continues to elucidate me as to the care and feeding of these adorable animals. She also talks a bit about what she sees for herself in the future. Let's get back to it.
You're going to come too, Milo? Milo is your dog.
Yes, he's a Shishan. He's a Bichon Shih Tzu mix. It's my parents' dog.
Those dogs are real people dogs, aren't they?
Yes, he's really loving and friendly, and he thinks he's a goat dog because he chases the goats around.
I've seen him do that. He's like, he thinks he's a herder.
Yeah, and they try to butt him, but he's too fast.
Now, any chance that any of these animals are going to butt me or chase me or do
The only one you'd have to be worried about is Bucky, but only because he wants the attention so bad.
Okay. Because I did do an interview with a horse that played the piano.
Oh, wow.
And after it was over, he bit me.
Hi, Daisy. Hey, Daisy.
Oh, yeah. She's so quiet and demure.
Hi.
Is that her happy? I'm so happy to see you.
Yes. She knows my car. She knows when I pull up. She sees me when I get out of the car. If she hears me talking, she makes that noise.
Aww.
It's like her greeting.
Well, look, they're all sort of standing in attention.
Yeah.
I'll stay right over here.
Okay.
Hey, Daisy.
Very curious. She's dirty because she rolls in the dirt here in the mud to get the flies away from her.
Now, do you have to bathe her also?
I've given her a bath once a year, but she does not like it at all. She tries to fight and get away.
Oh, Daisy. And who's this?
This is Bucky.
Oh, yes, of course, because he
wants the attention. Right up next to Daisy. He wants all the attention.
And who have we got?
That's
somebody
there's
else.
There's Floyd, Blackie in the back.
Oh, look at this
Brownie
guy
over there. Yeah.
Hey, Brownie.
Brownie is very mellow.
Now, how do they spend their day?
Well, if it's the summertime or the spring, I lock them out of the shed in the morning, and they have to spend their time outside because if I don't lock them out, they'll stay in the shed all day because they're so lazy.
Aww.
Yes, and I mean, they have an overhang, so if it rains, they have protection there. They just need the shed at night, so I kick them out.
And what is that, a watering device over
there? That's an outside hay rack for them.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Like in the summer, in the morning, if it's really rainy, or it's just wide out, I put a couple shanks out there of hay for them so that they have that little bit of roughage in their stomach so that when they're eating the wet grass, they don't get bloat, because if they eat too much wet grass, it could cause bloat and the left side of their stomach will come out really far and they could die from it.
Wow, Chelsea, you really do know a lot about these animals. You almost could be a vet.
I know. I learned a lot from Alice at the farm and from the vet that used to come there all the time, Steve Agustin from Bethel. And when I was doing my schooling, I learned a lot there, too.
How long did you actually go?
Well, it was online, so I was at home, and I did that for about... It was either 6 or 8 months, and it was about $1,000, so it wasn't a terrible loss, and I learned still, so.
Well, look how you have all that knowledge now. Uh-oh, he's got himself all twisted up in the wire, Bucky.
He likes to rub his horns on the beams in there, and he buffs out his... He buffs his horns.
Yeah, how do you take care of those horns?
Well, the reason why his are crooked is because the person who burned them off didn't do it right. So when they grew in, they grew in crooked.
What do you mean by burn them off?
I didn't really learn too much about it because I didn't really see it that much at the farm, but they would burn when their babies, the tops parts down, so they wouldn't grow in. And I think he missed some of it. So he's got crooked horns, and they grew in all the way. So,
oh my God, look at Daisy.
Yeah, she loves the attention.
Yeah,
hey.
This guy really does like attention.
Yeah, if I don't give her the attention she wants, she'll nip a little bit. Or if I'm doing the goat's hooves, she'll pull my hat off. If it's the winter, she'll take my hat and walk away with it, or my glasses. And she's very curious. She likes to lick my toes when I wear sandals.
I had a patient once who liked feet.
Yeah.
I see that the horns are different on that goat over there.
Yeah, so Bucky and Francis are originally from Riverbrook Farm, but these other three, Brownie, Blackie, and Floyd, are from another farm where they were being abused, and my boss, Alice, was able to get them, and that's why the two have grown in horns. They're Nigerian dwarf, so they grow in kind of curlier than these.
Yeah.
Because Bucky is an Alpine Nubian mix, so that's why their horns are different, and they were, I think, they were also at an auction, too, and they were still together, at least, so... Yeah, they didn't have the easiest life, but they're living it up now.
And where's Francis?
He's probably under the overhang because he's the laziest out of the group, and he doesn't like to do much grazing. He will lie around all day and do nothing.
Oh, well, there's always one of those in every family.
Yes.
Now, who's this guy over here who's just sort of watching? He's kind of eyeing me.
Yep, that would be Brownie. That's what Brownie does. He usually just kind of watches, and he chews his cud. And if you're standing out in the field and you're by yourself, he will come up to you. He'll kind of nudge you a little bit, and who wants to be pet and loved and hugged, and he just stands there. He's very mellow and loving and laid back. He's like a dog.
And who's that guy?
That's Floyd.
Oh, Floyd.
Floyd is Bucky's dad. And Floyd is the dorky goat with the overbite.
Oh, yeah.
He's thin, but that's his breeds. But he's thinner than everybody else here, so he's like he's not an outcast, but he's kind of the odd one in the bunch.
He doesn't have any horns at all.
No, he came from that other farm, and they must have burned them off before when he was younger, so
and
he doesn't have any.
They never grew back.
Nope, they never grew back, and Francis doesn't have horns, but he gets nubs sometimes, like his horns will grow in a tiny bit, and then when he's butting heads and having fun with everybody, then they'll break off, and then they kind of grow back a little bit and then break off again. They love butting heads. That's like their favorite thing to do. When they're having a lot of fun out in the field, they'll run up to each other and hit their heads against each other, and it makes this really loud sound, and it sounds like it would hurt, but it doesn't bother them at all. They got thick skulls.
So that's how they play. That's part of their routine.
Yeah, even Daisy will play with Bucky. Like, she'll start in with him first sometimes, and she'll bite the fur on his back or his neck, and she'll push him around, and then he'll butt his head against her chest, and then she'll push him, and it's just like a game for them. So
now Daisy is a donkey. She's not a mule. Could you tell the audience what the difference is?
Daisy is, both her parents were donkeys, and a mule is a horse and a donkey together.
Do people ride donkeys, or do they just ride mules?
They do. People ride both, but I don't know how to break my donkey, so I can't ride her, but she's pretty tame for not being broken. Like, I can put a harness on her, and sometimes I can walk her a little bit, but if she doesn't want to go in the shed at night, she will not go in. So she'll stay out at night sometimes because she's stubborn. She's a donkey.
Did you ever try to ride her?
I did. I tried to ride her probably like 2 years ago, but it was bareback, and she would get a little nervous and then throw me off of her and run away. But I tried.
Now, what about exercise? They're all sort of standing around here. Do you have to be cognizant of how much exercise they get? You have to be careful of that?
Well, that's kind of why I lock them out when there's nice weather. Usually when my boyfriend and I will come here at night, we'll spend some time with them before we put them away, and we'll run down to the end of the field, at the end of the pasture, and there's a big tree, and we'll put some of the limbs down so they can eat some of it, and we'll run up and down and into the temporary field I set up for them in the summer. They'll go in there and they'll run around. So they get a pretty good amount of exercise, especially in the summer.
Yeah. What do you do in the winter? That must be hard.
Yeah. In the winter, the space is more limited. Like around the shed, they'll go and they spend a lot of time in the shed, but it doesn't really hurt them.
Uh-huh.
And they eat a lot in the winter. They eat a lot of hay.
Yeah, this guy has not left our side since we've been here.
Yeah.
You are really being true to your description, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, he's so affectionate.
Yeah, he loves being brushed, and he loves being pet, and he loves playing. Like, he'll run around with me, and he'll go on his back legs, and he'll want to butt me and, like, play with me. And
have any of these animals accidentally hurt you?
Yes, Bucky. It's only Bucky. Well, Daisy stepped on me once, but
That was purely accidental.
Yeah, but Bucky sometimes gets a little rough while playing. He gets a little hyped up, and sometimes he'll cock his head to the side with his horns, and he gets you real good in the thigh, and you get a good bruise for a while. But he's just playing.
What kind of things do you have to be aware of as far as illnesses and diseases?
They haven't gotten sick in a very long time, but sometimes they'll put their heads down, they'll put their heads against something if they're not drinking, if they're not eating, if everybody's out in the field and they're not in the field, if they're in the shed or something, and you can take their temperature, or if they have really bad worms, you can check if you pull their eyelid down. It's called a FEMACHA, like a FEMACHA chart for the color of their, like, the inside of their eyelid. If it's really pink, that's good, and if it's white, that means they have really bad worms. So there's a couple different ways to tell things.
Yeah. Well, guys, I hope you don't make a
cookie.
Uh-oh. Oh. Oh, she took that so daintily.
Yeah, so actually, I've had it in my mouth, and she's taken it from my mouth.
Oh, Daisy, you're right? So nice.
Oh, well,
she's chewing right now.
And she sheds a lot in the summer.
Yeah. You have to brush her a lot, right?
Yeah, I try to brush her daily, and I pick her hooves, like, clean them out every day. Most of the time, when I brush her, she just goes over to the mud and rolls in it.
A thankless task.
Yeah.
There she goes. So, Chelsea, what do you plan for yourself in the future? What do you think you're going to be doing?
Well, I'm considering going back to school. I'm not exactly sure for what yet, but there's that, and I'm saving for a tiny house, and I want to maybe eventually have an animal sanctuary or
that nice. Sounds perfect.
Yeah, up way back in a field. There's a piece of property that my boyfriend owns, so put the animals back there. We could all live together, maybe get some more donkeys.
Oh, that property's up here in Tyler Hill?
No, it's in Thompson, PA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're by the Preston School. And they'd have more land, and we'd be with them all the time.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for letting me come up here today and meet the guys.
Yeah, of course. I love when people come to see them because they love the attention.
And maybe when you get that place in Thompson going, I'll come back and revisit the whole thing. Oh.
He loves it.
Look how he's tilting his head.
Yeah, I'm scratching near his spine, and he's throwing his head back because it's so nice. And
it's been great talking to you,
yeah.
And I think I learned a lot today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's Catskill Character with my guest, proud owner of farm animals, Chelsea Grass. Chelsea is on Facebook, where she posts pictures of her animals and uplifting messages of positivity. I'm Donna Fellenberg. Thanks so much for listening.
Weekend of Chamber Music's summer season, Become Music, runs from July 15th through the 27th with music of earth, water, and climate, featuring composer John Luther Adams. This week marks the return of flutist Carol Winsens, with concerts at Lulu Social Club, the Liberty Museum, and Catskill Art Space. Details and tickets at wcmconcerts.org. One planet, one festival. Become Music, from Weekend of Chamber Music. Paid for by Weekend of Chamber Music. We've heard from so many of your fellow listeners during our Summer Fun Drive.
What I really love most is the unique music I can bring into my life from listening to you guys. It's great. And most importantly, old school sessions on Saturday night, getting my disco groove on.
The music, everything you guys have to offer is always great.
I love listening to Rare Pair Radio on Friday nights.
Love Kathy Geary's show. I listen to that every Saturday. I listen to all of it. It's a go-to. It's always on.
I like the late night cool music. I like the local interviews. And I just like the fact that it's local.
Now, we need to hear from you. Go to WJFFradio.org to support Radio Catskill. Take a moment to help ensure we will always be here for everyone who needs us. Give what you can at WJFFradio.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.